Create Art Podcast. Commentary. Selling your art online. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Kim O'Brien, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where I take my 20 plus years of experience in the arts and education and help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. Now, I do this by providing commentary, conversations, interviews, and projects on topics that you might be struggling with. So, you've created some outstanding art. Now what? Where do you get started in selling your work, and where should you sell it? In this episode, I'm going to talk about my experiences selling work online, and I'm going to review a few articles that provide tips on how to sell your work online. Selling your art is a wonderful feeling. You know, it's a confirmation of your artistic vision. It also requires you to be able to market your work to your audience, and so that that way they have access to it, and they'll be able to commit their finances in supporting your vision. Now, this requires gaining knowledge in marketing and selling. You may initially bristle at this idea. Many artists think that there's no creativity in marketing, but really, that's just not true. Now, in the past, I've talked about Seth Godin in past episodes and his approach to marketing and the creativity behind it. First things first, you don't need millions of fans. You can get by with about 1,000 people who are fanatical about your work in order to support your vision. Now, maybe you don't intend to quit your day job, and this day job's been financing your artistic vision. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't run your practice like a business. You may be satisfied from selling enough of your work to pay back the cost of doing your art. Keep in mind, even writing has a cost to it. If you want to self-publish your work, you still need to pay for your proof copies and all those pens and papers and journals and classes that you take. And, well, if you're like me, all the coffee that you drink. Now, before we go any farther, I'm going to say that I'm not an expert on selling your art online. Now, I do have some experience with it, and I can tell you, it takes a lot of work and time that, for me, I'm just not interested in committing to do even on a part-time basis. Now, you can see my work on my website if you go to createartpodcast.com/merch. And probably the biggest error I have done is putting things in various storefronts. For my art prints, you can connect up with my Redbubble page. For my written work, you can either go to Amazon or Lulu. And then for the logo-centric work, I have a TeePublic site. Basically, I've made it hard on myself, and unfortunately, hard for people to buy my work. So first things first, take a page out of my book and find a service that can either handle or address all of your work if you want to put it out there, and then utilize that service. I am going to comment on each of these services, but the most important idea I want you to walk away with is this. Make it simple and easy for your audience to get your work and support your craft. Basically, that's what it all comes down to. If you're selling your work, you are asking your audience to support your vision. Give them a reason to. Be professional, or, you know what, hire someone to help you and get it professional looking and easy to manage. Now, I'd recommend just using one outlet to make it easy on you if you're not going to hire somebody. And that way, you can master one or two shops versus what I'm trying to do, which is master about 4 different storefronts. Also, keep in mind, if you direct people away from your website, then they may not come back. They may get stuck on the merchandise site and find something else that attracts their attention. If possible, and this depends on what your discipline is, make the transaction on your site so that way your audience and customers won't be distracted by anything else. So let's first talk about Redbubble. I like them because you can upload a high quality picture of your work and sell prints of it on various objects, you know, t-shirts, canvases. I've even gotten a picture done on a metal canvas, which is pretty awesome. You have no overhead. You've got, you know, you don't have to store anything except for your original piece. And your customers can decide how they want it. You know, do they want it on canvas, metal, coffee mug, what have you? Once a customer orders the piece, then Redbubble makes it, sends it out to the customer, and gives you a cut of the profit. Now you get to help determine what your cut is. Keep in mind, there are three people making money off your work. First, you. Second, Redbubble. Third person is the shipper. So when you ask yourself, hey, what should I charge? Well, there will be a minimum you have to charge in order to cover the cost of making the item. Also, the shipping costs will be added and the tax. You have to sell so much before they'll cut you a check, and that amount does not roll over into the next period. So let's say the minimum amount is $100 in 3 months. Then you need to sell that $100 in the 3 months. If you only sell $75, you're going to lose out on that $75. You need to always be selling to make money off your work in this scenario. Now, I like the fact, I said earlier, that you can put your artwork on multiple different canvases, and they're going to collect the money, and they have all the, you know, authentication and secured servers all set up for you. That's something you don't have to worry about. Main thing you got to do is upload the artwork and make an eye-catching storefront to keep people on your storefront. The bad thing is there are thousands of other artists on their site at the same time. What you may want to do is set up a gallery on your website and link it directly to your portfolio in Redbubble so that your customers can stay on your page as long as possible. And you can reward them by giving them a special discount if they subscribe to your newsletter or some other way that you can capture their email address and, you know, let them know when you have new works. The margin of profit is not great, but the number of canvases that your work can appear on is what will sell the work. Next, I'd like to take a look at TeePublic. Now, a lot of podcasters use TeePublic because it's so easy. The setup is similar to Redbubble in that you upload your work and set up a profile and storefront, and voila, you can start to rake in the money. Yeah, right. I like it because they do a lot of discounts, and there seems to be more assistance with TeePublic than Redbubble. Now, Redbubble is more for painters, whereas TeePublic is more for graphic design. Also, TeePublic doesn't have the canvas options that Redbubble has. So if you are a painter, stick with Redbubble. Everybody else, go with TeePublic. Again, same idea applies. Get people to stay on your page for as long as possible, and then turn them loose on TeePublic. There are thousands of artists already on TeePublic, so keep your customers' eyes focused on your work. Another similarity with TeePublic and Redbubble is that you have to sell a certain amount before they're going to cut out a check to you. So again, you're always selling to get that commission check. One thing I don't like, shipping costs. They seem pretty high to me. So really, do a favor to your customer and cut them a discount to offset that cost as much as possible. When you do that, it helps your customer. But keep in mind, it's also going to cut into your profits. So use it sparingly. Now for my writers out there, Amazon and Lulu. Now I've used both of these platforms for self-publishing. And yes, I'm going to address the elephant in the big room here. Amazon is the biggest out there for books. You're going to be competing with hundreds of thousands of other writers. And their system is called CreateSpace. It's fairly straightforward. You format your book according to their specifications, and you've got a few choices on the size of your book. Myself, I'm a big fan of 6-inch by 9-inch books because it fits well in most bookcases and is easily transported in your backpack. You can also have it just, you know, be on their ebook platform, or you can do it for both. Same thing happens with Lulu, except Lulu is much smaller, and eventually your book is going to appear on Amazon anyways. Now, I've seen that happen with two of my poetry books, so fair warning on that. Now, you can buy marketing help as an add-on for Amazon. I haven't done it myself, but you know, my plan for my next book, I'm going to seriously consider this option. It is pricey. Not going to lie there. It's pricey, so make sure that this book is something you want to spend money on. Again, you're going to set your commission price. Ebooks have no shipping charges, so that might be an incentive for you and your audience. For me, I like the feel of a book, but you know what? I understand the allure of ebooks, so I have mine set up for both. Make sure you're keeping your customers on your page again as long as possible, because I know for me, I have a hard time on Amazon with the things that they have there. I get sidetracked very easily, and I forget what I'm looking for many times. So what this all comes down to is, whether you sell your work, try to keep your customer on your site for as long as possible. And if you have the ability to produce copies of your work easily and are willing to do the shipping yourself, you might save yourself some hassle and make more money as a side gig. Think about it like this. How long did it take for you to find this podcast? Where did you look? How did you find it? It takes time and it takes effort if you're going to do it all yourself. I'd like to know. Go ahead and email me, Timothy@createartpodcast.com, and let me know. Tell me what steps you took to get here. Tell me if you got referred to this podcast. And do the same thing for your customers. Find out how they got there and find out the pain points for them to get there and then work on those pain points. So I've babbled on long enough. Let's look at what the experts recommend. Now, the first article I'm looking at is by the Art Business Journal, and it's titled 7 Tips for Selling Art Online, How to Help Buyers Find Your Work. I'm going to have the links to these articles in the show notes, as I always do. Now, some of the items I've touched on is mentioned in the article. And yes, you know, like I said, we're going to have the links in the show notes. So the first step is writing better artwork descriptions. Now, I'd add to that, your descriptions can have some jargon a little bit that serious collectors or academics and critics would know. However, make sure you're giving a good description of what you're trying to portray and what your focus is on this piece. Is it a collection of work? We won't know unless you tell us. This goes along with titling your work. You know, you want to draw on the audience rather than make them scratch their heads and ask, what does the title have to do with the piece? Myself, I hate untitled work, but hey, that's just me. Put a title on it, and that helps the audience connect. Now, the next point is to be more social. Yes, it's the bane of many people's existence. But if people don't know you, then why would they want to look at your work? And why would they want to buy your work? Look at it this way. If you are confident in your work, let it show by talking about it on the various channels that you have. There is a fine line, so don't spam, but find the balance and see if you can find ways to mention the work that you do. Also, don't feel that you have to be on every social network. You know, pick one or two that you're comfortable with and, you know, maybe make one or two more that is just really basic and go from there. The secret is consistency and responding to comments on your work. If you get a comment, thank that person at the very least. Perhaps start up a conversation with them. You never know if that person is your next sale. The third point is starting a blog. Yes, I hear you, universe. This is something that I'm weak at, but it's true. Start that blog. Get the SEO, otherwise known as search engine optimization, juice going for your website and run with it. Again, consistency. 300 words minimum per post. Now, you don't need to do it every day. Maybe you do it once a week and keep it focused on what you're doing for your art practice. Heck, I'd say start a podcast, but that's just me. It's more likely to work initially, but once you get started, you know, it's a lot of work initially, but once you get started, it's a lot of fun, and there's already a built-in community of people ready to help you out. start with me. I'd be happy to help you out with your podcast if you're going to start one up. The fourth idea is to create a newsletter for your followers. A good example of this is a guest that I had on previously, and I'll have the link to that interview, Tia Sunshine. Now, I subscribed to her newsletter and her Facebook page because I really enjoyed her work. And she sends out this newsletter about once a month, so it's not too much. And she gives her subscribers advanced news about what's coming up and discounts on her work. Shh, don't tell anyone I told you that. People want to get to know what you are doing and where they can find you. Give them that chance. They will feel special. And you want your people to feel special. Point five is advertising your website in print. That means business cards, means flyers, it means making something that people can look at to remember you. Stickers, postcards, what? People love stickers on their cars or even their laptops, maybe even their turntables. I have a few on my turntable from record stores that I frequent and my nephew who's starting his own business. Let others advertise for you with stickers, flyers, business cards, or anything you can think of. The sixth point is to team up with other artists. They may have a larger or smaller following, but their following may not be following you. So combine forces and give it a shot. You might find a business partner out of the deal. The last point they recommend is sticking with it for at least 6 months. I'd say stick with it longer, because it does take time for you to catch on. 6 months is nothing, says this old man. But seriously, go with it. Devote the time you can to it to make sure you define what success is to you in terms of selling your work online. It could take more than 6 months. It could take a couple of years. I know in podcasting, they say it takes about 3 years for it to really, kick into high gear for most people. So 6 months does not equal 3 years in my math. Again, public school math here. Next article is by Emma Cowne, C-O-W-N-E. And she has 10 tips for selling your work online. And her article is titled, amazingly enough, 10 tips for selling your work online. Now, she starts by telling her story. By telling your story and staying positive. Now, I really like this idea because it keeps you on message and presents to people that you are probably someone they want to get to know. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying be saccharine and by, being Mr. or Mrs. Rainbow shooting out of your butt all the time. Sometimes personal, details are fine, but make it a point to show the positive side of your struggles. Recently I let you all know that I was diagnosed with MS. But I make sure to let you know that I'm pushing through and making content and now how having MS makes me better and makes my work better. Emma's next point is having your own website. Now, having a website is an art form into itself. And, you may want to get some help on this. But more importantly, I'd say learn how to create your website. It might be a nice pastime that you can learn how to do. Make it fun because much of the time, making a website is not going to be fun. Fake it until you make it. Think of your website as your portfolio and your marketplace. People want to buy from you if you have a good-looking website. Get people to look at the site who know design and ask for help to make it better and easier to navigate. Point three is to start blogging. Okay, universe, I get the point. But it's true. If you have a website, make sure you are blogging on it for that SEO juice it provides. And so people can, look at your site anyways. They want to know your thoughts on your works, and they want to understand you as an artist. So don't be like me and skimp on this step. Which leads to the fourth point, social media. Now, the last article covered this pretty well, and obviously we need to be out there. And Emma echoes the idea of being good at one or two, and then maybe branching out from there. But realize it's going to take time, and you need to reply when people comment on your posts, even when the post is negative. Make a point to let people know you do monitor your social media and you want to connect with them. All right, we're halfway home here. Point number five is Pinterest. Now, I'm not on Pinterest, but I know many people who recommend it. Maybe the universe is telling me something. I don't know. I'm trying to blog. I'm not on Pinterest yet. But seriously, think outside the box. Pinterest may be your ticket. Maybe your social media thing that you really enjoy. Maybe your audience is actually using Pinterest. Maybe they're using something that you're not using. Give it a try and see if it resonates with you. Now, if you're not a graphic designer, you can always cheat. Now, cheat like the Dickens. And her sixth point is Canva. I use it and I love it. Your work on your website and just about everywhere else needs to look great. And it with Canva, it will look great with this tool. There is a free aspect to it and a paid aspect to it, depending on how much you use it. It might be worth paying for all the content you can get on there. I use the free version because, well, I'm cheap and I like to stick with the basic designs and images. Lucky number seven is SEO. I used that term earlier. That's the search engine optimization. And this is what makes you findable in the interwebs. It is like learning a whole new language, but there are free tools out there to assist you in making your posts the most SEO-worthy posts they can be. Use the free stuff first until you get the hang of it. Then you can go for the paid stuff that'll help you with your SEO and help you write those blog posts. Her eighth point is, oh my God, listening to podcasts. This is why I love this article so much. You will want to listen to marketing podcasts aimed at artists because what we produce is unique to us and has a special way to be marketed. Now, I really like the Accidental Creative and Creative Pep Talk. There's many others out there to binge on. You know, go ahead and search for those. And after you listened, of course, to Create Art Podcast, I'll have the links for Accidental Creative and Creative Pep Talk in the show notes for you. Point nine is using online galleries. Now, yes, this is directed at painters and graphic designers, but in your discipline, I'm sure there is ways that people can experience your art online. Utilize those resources. I've done it with Redbubble, and I find it's easy to set up, and it does get a lot of traffic. Her last point is to diversify your presence. You don't want to just be on one platform and hope they never go under. Anyone remember MySpace or Yahoo GeoCities? Yeah, that does happen. Plus, they changed the algorithms to get people to stay on their site versus helping you make a sale or exposing your work to a larger audience. You don't need to be everywhere, but make it easy for people to find you. Okay, so I hope this episode has given you some ideas on the work it takes to sell your artwork online, and hopefully you can avoid some of the pitfalls that I've come across. I know I've learned a lot when I did the research into this, and I know I need to implement some of the items that I've found. Yes, blogging, I know. You don't need to email me and tell me that. Having people support your work is really a great boost to your self-confidence, and it makes the act of creating art a little less lonely. Why don't you go ahead and tell me what you're struggling with, and let's see if we can help each other. If this episode has been helpful to you, reach out and let me know. Timothy@createartpodcast.com is the best way. Also, feel free to send it over to a friend if you know somebody who could benefit from this information. Also, if you'd like me to explore some other set of art, some aspect of art that is troubling you, or if you'd like to be featured on the show, let me know. I'm always happy to spread the good work that you're trying to do in your corner of the world. Now go out there and tame your inner critic. Create more than you consume and make some art for someone you love, yourself. Until next time.